On Racing HQ, time now for Chinwag with Cozzy.
24 to 11, and this morning I'm chatting with the world's oldest bookmaker, Doug Carroll. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, they've given you the label, the world's oldest bookie. I've Googled and had a look, and I can't find anyone else older, Doug.
No, we looked at a book of records, Sean, and it's 84, I think, the oldest in the book of records. So they're going to put me on,
Guinness Book of Records.
Yeah, where all the records are. Got to play organiser doing that.
Now, Doug, 93, are you closer to 93 or to 94? When's 94?
11th and 9th, 25. That's September.
So you're
94.
Now, the other day at Rose Hill, they had the day where they were honouring bookmakers who combined, five of them, had more than 260 years' experience. You couldn't get there. Where were you working?
I was working at the Trots on Saturday night. We only got one bookie left here now, Sean, so I couldn't leave them in the dark without a bookmaker.
Now, that's at Broken Hill, isn't it?
Yeah, Broken Hill, mate.
At the Trots on the Saturday night, did they have a crack? Yeah. Many of them have a decent bet, Doug?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't so good Saturday night because it was a bit warm and that, but they only had four races. We got away with four races, but normally you wouldn't get away with it, but they said that it won't happen again.
You know what, Doug, it's important to have a bookie there like that, and I think it's absolutely fantastic that you're still there fielding.
I wouldn't go to the race without a bookie, Sean. If there wasn't a bookie there, I wouldn't go in the gate. I'd stay home in the lounge.
Now, let's wind the clock back a little bit. I think you've been going for, 63, 64 years?
Yeah, about 63, 64. I got a thing from the New South Wales Bookmakers Association. They were away a few weeks, or last year sometime, and with a plaque and that, and so presented to me. That was 63 years, I think.
Goodness me. Now, Doug, let's go back. We'll wind the clock back 93 years. Was there bookmaking in your family? Was there a racing background?
No. It was only a punter. Like, I mixed my gait a bit, Sean, when I first started. I was a better bookmaker than I am a punter, also, you know.
Did you have a crack at the punt, did you?
Oh, I'm a mad punter. I was betting when I was 8 years old.
With an SP or with a legal bookie?
Illegal bookie, SP. But in the old days, when I first started bookmaking, we used to put our board up in the pubs. Every pub had a bookie in the bar.
Yeah. Well, that was it. They all had an SP, didn't they?
Yeah, it was open travel. I don't know how they got away with it. Anyhow, I was told not to do anything, worry about it.
Did they bet all right in the pubs in those days, Doug?
Oh, did they ever? A lot of them used to declare themselves on those, Sean. There was no, just a pencil and paper, you know. Yeah. And they say, oh, I backed Jimmy. I said, no, you didn't. You down back. Oh, we were nearly all fisticuffs and that, you know. The smartest trying to ever go. So, I was the first one. I got tickets, but it was DC written on them with a number. So if they didn't have a ticket, the same as they did the races now. I wrote a ticket out from DC.
You're a bit ahead of your time, Doug. What were some of the big bets back in those days in the pubs? They would have been betting in pounds back then, in quids.
Yeah, pounds, but my bank was pretty light. There was a bookmakers association, you know, called the Brentonville Bookmakers Association, and it wouldn't let us in. And an old friend of mine, he's passed on now, but he wanted to be a bookie. He said, you want to be a bookie? I said, yeah, might have enough money in the bank. So they wouldn't let us in. So we went to the BIC. Alf Bitmead went to the BIC. He was a bloke, two days later, he rang me and said, get ready, we're in business. Shorty O'Neill was the boss of the BIC, and he said that if they don't work, you don't work. So that was it. So that's how we started. And then Years later, we joined the New South Wales Bookmakers Co-op, but that was a few years after.
When you got, when you became professional, in inverted commas, where, what tracks were you fielding on then? Were you just doing gallops or did you do everything?
No, gallops and trots, but the trots weren't going too good then. And then when there was no races, there was a dog. We had the dogs in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon. We had, if there was no races on, we had the dogs. And most of the times the dogs, and then it went every second week. And then the races folded up a bit, and then they only got two meetings there now. St. Patrick's Day and the Broken Hill Cup Day. Only two meetings would go on Broken Hill now.
Now, Doug, you've fielded, I would imagine, on many tracks. I mean, where have you been? I read somewhere you even go to Darwin.
I went to Darwin for 8 or 9 years, yeah. Every year for about 8 years. And it was all right, but it was only time you paid your... $6,000 to get to for your stand fees and airplane fees and take your clerks up and feed them and drink them. You were lucky to get home with any money. But the clerks used to go, "Crook, we didn't win." I said, "Well, we've had a week's holiday for nothing." We used to go, "We never lost, but we went over our squares," so I couldn't see anything wrong with that.
That's probably the good way to look at it, Doug, isn't it, really?
Well, we have a week's holiday in Darwin, mate. You wouldn't get away with cost you a bit more than that.
Too right it would. Over the years in your career, I imagine you probably stood some big bets at times. What, you recall what the biggest bet is you've stood?
I had $1,000, I think, one day. I broke out on a horse at 5-1, but I was quickly smart, put that back. Some of it.
Yeah. That's a fair bet in the bush.
Yeah, it was interstate races. Mm. I only bet interstate for years. Melbourne, Sydney and Adelaide and Brisbane. Mm. Bet the full prices. But we had a bookmakers association and we had a fella giving the betting out on the course, you know. Yeah. And unknown to us, he was pruned a bit off before he gave him out. But two bookies knew, and so it was easy to make it, give it out at 5-4 on, and they'd bet 5-4 against, and we'd say, just as though you didn't back it. We found that later he was taking the price off before we got to it. So we nicknamed the pruner.
He was doing a little bit of a haircut on him.
Yeah, we was getting swung from the two bookies. Only two bookies out of about 8 or 9 knew what was going on.
bit of a rort on the side there, Doug.
Oh, that was a rort on the side, all right. So Pruner is dead now, I think.
Well, Pruner's got to sort things out with his maker, I suppose, hasn't he,
yeah,
now?
When he gets up there, I'll catch up with him.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, well, he might be down where it's warmer, Doug. I don't know.
I reckon I might be too, mate.
Now, did you work for the Barrier Daily Truth at one stage?
Yeah, I was. It was out of work, and I had a little business, and then I was out of work, and a friend of mine, he said, "I'm turning the job up." I said, "What are you doing?" He told me, he used to walk up and put the paper under the front door of the businesses that had paid for it. Mm. And then he had 5 or 6 deliverers, and they had to take the papers out to them and so they could roll them and then deliver them. There was about 5 of them. And he pulled out, so I got the job, and I was riding my bike up Argent Street and putting the paper under the thing doors, and along comes the boss. So what are you doing? I said, "I'm the circulation manager. And 12 months later, he said, "Would you like to be the circulation manager too?" Right, I would. So I got a job in office for 30 years, sorting out the people who didn't pay and who missed their payment and all the rest of it. It was quite a good job and a good boss.
Now, Doug, in your prime, when you were, well, you're still in your prime at 93, you're only a pup, but I mean, when you were busy swinging the bag, how many meetings a week would you cover?
In the old days, we used to race every second week in the races. Mm. And now, the last, say, 10 years, I've only been doing, I do Cobar Cup and England Anzac Day, and Cobar have another meeting. And then in every day I go to Balranald down, and then I go to Pooncarie on the river the week before Derby Day, and then I go to Wentworth on Melbourne Cup Day, and that's it. I do about five meetings now on the locals, and the trots have 10 meetings a year. And they start about December and go to St. Paddy's. St. Paddy's night is a good night at the trots. They had that on Friday night. I wonder, would you give me a ring later when it suits? I want to talk to you about that one.
All right, lovely, Doug. No worries. We'll work something out. I'm talking with the world's oldest bookmaker, Doug Carroll. Doug's 93, going on 94, been fielding, swinging the bag for 63, 64 years. Doug, I reckon over the years you would have seen a few good plungers pulled off. Have you ever seen anything unusual, or you look and thought, by gee, they were smart doing that?
Two or three things I've seen unusual was, one, I'll never forget this one, Sean. A bloke said to me, there was about, when I started, there was about 25 bookmakers on the interstate and about seven or eight on dogs. And this bloke said, there was a bloke called Diddy Rymoff. He said, fancy having a bet and broken. Now, look at that bucky over there. He's Diddy, I'm off, and Knocker Urban. One was taking a knock and another one was off. So. And another day, there was a bit of a problem with a horse lost its weight. It was...
Disqualified.
It didn't lose it. There was only three in the race, and one was one. The favourite was 4-1 on. Well, other one was 7-4 against. That one was 8-1 or something. Anyhow, I've seen a bloke booking this particular day. We got balloted out off interstate over to the locals because the locals went on strike. They go on strike for anything, I figure. Anyhow, he said. He said, this bookie wouldn't bet with counterfeit money, Sean. Fair to him, he wouldn't even bet with your money. He's a dead set bookie. But he's looking at my betting board, and I said, which one? He said, I'll have 5-2 the second favourite. And I woke straight away. I said, oh, because I seen him talking to someone, you know. So I turned it down. I said, he's my favourite, Urban. I turned him down and got stuck in and turned the odds on favourite down about 6-4 on. Well, they rushed me. And I didn't have much money in the bag, but when I got to the limit of the bag, Joe was my penciler, and he said, you're there. I said, all right, that'll do. So I turned it back up. And he just said, ready to go, a lady... mixed up with horse, come and they put $80 at 7-4 on and threw it in my hand and took off. And Joe said, that's it, you're $180. Oh, don't worry about it. Anyway, it bolted in. And all of a sudden, I looked over and Joe's got up. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going, I don't want to be here with the so-and-so, it's a fan. So... The next thing, all the smarties are all over the saddle and paddock watching the jockeys weigh in. And I looked over and I said, I said, hey, Joe, sit down. He said, why? I said, look at those guys over there. Where would they be any other time? In the bar. They were watching the jockeys. Sure enough, our old tickets lost £7 was left off his back. Disqualified. I won £1,000 that night, sure.
You got the lot, Doug.
Yeah, I don't know what I was going to do about the 180.
You'd have to do a runner, mate. Get out of the joint and go for your life.
No, I said to Joe, I said, he said, you're 180 short now. I said, I'll get a couple hundred off Danny. He was Danny, good mate of mine, a big bookie. And he said, you'll get nothing off me, you know. But I knew I would have gotten if it had been feeding
him. I suppose in those days, the bookies, you'd all look after each other. But if you got a situation like that where you got caught...
Yeah, good mates, mate. But they all dog eat dog, it was, you know.
Yeah.
One day there was a one bookie next to me, and I went, he used to get out, he used to get halfway out in the bet ring to take, grab the bet, you know. So I took a dog chain out there and tied it to the bookie. And I said, the bookie, Danny said, what do you do on that? I said, I'm tying it to your bloody clerk's leg so he can't move it.
Whack him on a bungee rope.
Yes, he used to go, he'd chase the bloke right out there, and he had no way of getting past him. He'd chase him out.
Yeah. Like a Rottweiler straight after him, Dave.
Oh, yeah, I'd drive you silly.
You must have met some real characters, though, along the way. You've been swinging the bag for 63, 64 years.
Yeah, I will never forget one day they called Jackie the Rat, was on the bag for a booking. He dropped his cigarette in the bag and said a lot to it.
with the currency inside.
Wasn't a panic then.
All of a sudden his bank's gone up.
one day there was a ring in, a fire in a Nautica.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine was a steward, and he used to always come to Broken Hill for the St. Patrick's race, Billy Brewer. He was a steward of Melbourne.
Yeah, great bloke, Bill.
Bill was one of the nicest fellas who wished to meet. Anyhow, he said, that's not Foden. It turned out it was Nautica. Nautica was a real good yellow, but, you know. So I hold all tickets, because the next thing was the Bicky's come in again because it was disqualified.
Yeah, that was a big news that day, the ring in, Nautica and Foden, wasn't it?
Yeah, the funniest thing that ever happened, well, the worst thing that ever happened to me, Sean, was I was betting at the Trots one night, and they had a steward who didn't know what day it was, really. And number four protested against the winner, and he promoted the four to first. And I was a real, no, backed it for a stack, see? And I run down to the steward's office and I said, you can't do that, sir. You can't take four to first. I learned a friend told me I could do it. He said, his learned friend was drunk, I'm drunk in bed.
So he's popped fourth into first and left second and third where they were.
Yeah, went straight past second and third. And I was written up. I don't know when you were too young for the Sporting Globe, weren't you?
No, I don't remember the Globe, yeah.
Yeah, it was written up in the Sporting Globe when it happened.
Oh, he would have been pretty popular after that, Doug. There would have been a few looking for him.
I was looking for him, but I couldn't do much about it. I had a fellow working for me called Sardines. You can't get anything in the title of tin of sardines, can you?
No. He was that tight, was he?
Yeah. He had a house, and he had no lino on any of the floors or anything. And I said, how do you sweep up? He said, I open the front door and let it blow out the back. Some characters, I tell you. And he was a good worker. He was a good member of the staff, you know. And he's a lot of me too. he used to print the sheets out for me those days before I got the computer. But he print the sheets out, and he used to have bike tire. He used to ride a bike. He used to cut the tire off with old tubes. Yeah. And you'd be putting around your bundle of horses, and then next thing they'd break, and they'd block horse. I said, Sardines, take bloody $2 out the bag, or $2 out the bag, and go and buy some. No, I got plenty of tubes. I said, you've got them tubes here next door, you got the sack. He went and got the rubber bands. That's how careful he was. He just used the rubber bands.
Sounds like he had the second quid he ever got. He spent the first one buying a wallet to put the rest in.
He died and left 1.5.
Well, we're right there. He had a bit.
Yeah, 1.5 he left.
Fair dinkum. Yeah. Now, you mentioned the computers. You know more of the tickets. You're all computerised these days yourself?
Oh, yeah. When they come in with the decimal currency, you know, the new... new things, are you? Because you wouldn't believe it. It was so hard. So I said, this is, we had to send our board, get the new tapes for the boards, you know, from the old style to the decimal currency one. And a couple of bookies never ever done it. They said, it works on the old prices, but I got mine. I wouldn't do it without. I don't know how to do it now. Showing it out the computer.
Yeah. Are you able to keep a track of what you got in the bag and what your liabilities are?
Yeah, especially when you were working on a tight bank, you know. Like I said, I mixed my gate. I went, probably win $1,000 off the book, on the book, and do $1,200 under to the bookies, you know.
you were just recycling the money, Doug.
I learned the lesson a couple of years ago that there's no copping that.
No good winning it off them and then punting yourself.
Yeah.
But Doug, I got to say, how long do you reckon you'll swing the bag for? Mate, you're 93, you're going to be 94 in September. You are flying. I'd like you in the first leg of a double to get to the ton and still be swinging the bag.
Well, someone said to me the other night at the trots, when are you going to turn it up, Dougie? I said, when I don't know what I'm doing.
Mate, you're a long way off that.
When I don't know what I'm doing, I said, I'll give you 4 to 1 about even money, Pop. It's time to give the bag away.
You're on the bit, Doug. You are going 3/4 pace. I tell you, 93, you're flying.
Oh, yeah, I feel too pretty good. I've got a crooked kidney. That's the only trouble. I don't know how that's going. The other one's no good, they tell me. But he's been telling me for 2 years he's looking after me kidney, so.
Right, well, I tell you what, you are absolutely amazing. Andrew Benzie sent me a text and said, you sound better than me.
Well, I'm pretty bright. I just had an early operation about 6 weeks ago. That stopped me up a bit, but I still drive to K-Bar and drive home again. You know, not the same day, of course, but
yeah.
I stay overnight. I go to Louth every year.
Yeah.
That's no one I miss. That's a good race, country meeting.
Yeah, I hear that. That's a beauty.
That's a ripper. Well, you're going to get up there one day.
Oh, I reckon you and I'd find trouble together, Doug. We'd have a ball.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you ring me back when you get a chance so I can have a talk to you about that other business I talked about.
All right, mate. No worries. Good as gold. Doug, it's been an absolute thorough pleasure having a chinwag with you this morning. I really enjoyed it. And
yeah, it's
just
too,
great.
Aussie.
Mate, yeah, as I said, you're absolutely flying. Going on 94, swinging the bag, and the thing is, you can pick it in your voice. You love life, you're enjoying yourself, and that's what's important, isn't it?
I reckon my secret was, they say, what's your secret? First of all, I never put a cigarette in my mouth, ever.
Yeah.
And when I lose, I lose. I don't care. And I don't get stressed out. They could say, well, we just done $1,000. And what are you laughing at? Because I was not going to cry. I was not going to bring the bastard back, is it?
That's exactly right. Stressing over it's not going to fix it, is it?
I reckon stress will kill you, Cosby, before anything else.
Yeah, I do too. It's never going to happen to me, Doug. Stress-free operation here, I'll tell you.
I've never stressed out yet. It was too late to start doing that, isn't it?
Oh, well, exactly. You've only got another 50 years of life to go, so you might as well relax and enjoy it, Doug.
Well, I enjoy it, because there's no doubt about that.
Mate, as I said, it's been an
absolute... I love it doing it, because I meet people and they go to the trots, and like that week when this story came out about me, it went viral. I got a sore arm shaking bloody people's hands.
Would have been better if you're snazzling $50 bills out of their claw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, mate, I wish you all the best. We will keep in touch too. And, Doug, it's just been great having a chinwag with you, mate. I really appreciate it, and have a great day.
Well, don't forget to give me a buzz, because I've got that idea of what we talked about earlier this morning.
Yeah. No worries at all.
I'll be in touch with the race club, and when you give me a ring, I'll let you know.
Good on you, Doug.
Time to ring you, Cos.
Mate, any time. I got the dog and bone on all the time. You can ring any time, except when I'm on the radio. Well, I say that because of Andrew Benzie's listening. See, what will happen is he'll think I won't take the call. I will. There won't be a problem. I'll be auntie while I'm on air. But we'll make out now, for purposes of the exercise, that I won't take the call, all right?
Yeah.
Or Connie. Good on you, Doug. Right. I'll talk to you later on the Savo, mate.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right then. I'll ring you lunch after lunch sometime.
Good on you, Doug. Doug Carroll, the world's oldest bookie. He's 93 going on 94. By God, I hope I'm as good as that one. Well, I won't get to his age. Tell you what, Doug, you can lay that. That's a certainty. I won't get to that. But by gee, isn't he amazing?